Welcome back. I'm Erin Brinker.
And I'm Tobin Brinker.
And we are on The Brink, the morning show here on KCAA AM 1050. I'm excited that our next guest is joining us. We'll be welcoming Jacqueline Newman. She is the author of Why Bad Mouthing Your Spouse on Twitter and Facebook is a Bad Idea. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
So you are an expert on divorce, and let me tell our listeners here, you are a family law attorney and managing partner at Berkman, Bodker, Newman, and Rod in New York City. Your practice consists of litigation, collaborative law, mediation, and you specialize in complex, high-net-worth matrimonial cases and negotiating prenuptial agreements. So you are truly an expert in this area. All of us have seen our friends, or people that we know on Facebook going through a divorce, and they get nasty on Facebook, but that's not a good idea.
No, it's definitely not a good idea. In fact, I often tell clients, you know, put mittens on and stay away from social media altogether when you're in the midst of going through a divorce.
So how does this stuff come back to bite them?
Well, there's many ways. More often than not, you'll have people that will be using the information that they obtain via Facebook or via any social media platform and possibly presenting it in a court of law. So that is one of the big, big things that comes up, and it's very, very concerning because, you know, I tell people that if you, you know, anytime you write something, just assume that you're handing it directly to the judge, and if you're okay doing it, then so be it. But if you're not, I'd suggest not to do it.
Oh, that puts a different spin on it. But we turn to Facebook and we turn to social media in general to get support from our friends. It's our, you know, and we kind of have this idea that it's just us talking to our friends, but indeed that's not the case.
No, it's absolutely not the case. When you're putting things out on social media, it's anyone's game. I mean, if you want to speak to your friends, I'd say get on the phone and give them a call or directly email them if you have to, but do not just post it out for the world to see, because once you do that, it's, as I said, it's fair game. And, you know, situations will come up such as, you know, for an example, if a parent says that they can't afford their, you know, the child support that, you know, one spouse is asking for, and then they post on their social media, you know, that they just got this, closed this great big deal or just bought this brand new car or just went on this lavish vacation. And as soon as you see that, it's just so contradictory and, you know, judges don't like it.
Now, you hear stories about spouses hiding assets and that sort of thing, you know, and I guess that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. Hiding assets, it's actually very difficult to hide an asset unless this is something you've been planning for a while or you work in a cash business. But that said, yes, I think that if people are sitting there and claiming that they have no money and then all of a sudden they're doing these things and they're showing off on social media, you know, as I said, it really just shows it's contradictory. And, you know, as I said, courts, you know, they don't want to see people, especially when it comes to child support specifically, they don't want to see people trying to say that they can't afford to buy school supplies for their child, but yet they can afford the new Maserati that they're showing a big picture of.
So I'm glad you mentioned the kids, because it seems to me that's where the most damage can be done is, you know, you're posting all this stuff out there. And I'll share, I had a friend who, and thankfully didn't have kids between the couple, but they were just posting all kinds of ugly stuff about each other. And, you know, you've got to think that would have an impact on the kids. Do you deal with that? I mean, I know that's not necessarily a legal issue, but is that something that you talk about in your book as well?
It is a legal issue.
Okay.
I mean, because what happens is, you know, in any kind of custody fight, the thing you need to realize is that alienation could be something that would be a factor in all of this. So when you have one parent that's saying terrible, terrible things about the other parent and saying, you know, even my child agrees, you know, that's something that can definitely come, and a court will look at that. So the other thing I tell people is that you have to look at children. You know, children now, they learn to text as soon as they learn to read. I mean, it's so common. Everybody has a phone in their hand. And, you know, this is, you know, a child's going to be able to find some of this stuff. And so while you're feeling really angry at the moment, I think that writing something really, really bad about your spouse, just recognize that your child's going to see it. And you sit and you say to your children, you know, mommy and daddy still love each other. We just, you know, we just realized that we're not better together. And all these positive messages you want to give to your child about your divorce. And then you turn around on Facebook and you sit and you bash the person. I mean, what message does that really give to your child?
Now, talk about dating sites. I'm sure that some people jump right onto the, you know, the dating sites as soon as they file for divorce. Is that another area where you can ferret out information about your spouse?
It is. The thing with dating sites is, you know, a lot of people tend to exaggerate. So when you have a situation like that, I tell my clients, you know, be honest for two reasons. One, because you don't want to be exaggerating and then meet the person and it not work out. So to start with that. And then the second and more relevant issue to what we're discussing is that you don't want it to be something that comes up and you don't want to judge things. So let me get this straight. Are you lying to me now or were you just lying on the dating site?
Oh, wow. Well, I figure everybody on Tinder is lying.
Probably, but if they're going through a divorce, they shouldn't be.
They shouldn't be. Now, do you think that people should deactivate their social media?
I don't know if you have to go as far as deactivating. I think a lot of people are so addicted that might just add more stress to an already stressful situation. But I think you just have to be careful about what you're writing. I mean, it's not necessary to air your dirty laundry and put it all out there for the world to see. Again, especially if you have children, you know, have conversations with your friends or directly email them. You don't have to write to everyone. So I wouldn't say that people have to actually deactivate. If they can do it, great. But I think so many people would find themselves they already feel isolated in a divorce. And I think if they really cut themselves off 100%, it would just make it even worse.
So in terms of writing this book, did this just came out of your years of working and you decided that you sort of have had to have this conversation, I guess, with many of your clients. So how did this book develop?
It was an article more than a book. And
okay.
It came about, just because I think it's a really important thing for people to know, because I think that, again, when you're going through a divorce, people are in such a state of stress and they're feeling very isolated. They're feeling, you know, angry. They're having all these emotions and they want to just let them out. And there is that, I think people have that immediate feeling of gratification when they just kind of say whatever they want to say. And it's very easy to sit and do it on your iPhone sitting at home in your pajamas. But I think people don't think about the big picture because they're so caught in the moment. And that is a message that I just want people divorcing spouses to think about. And just think about little things you're doing right now can really affect your bigger picture issues.
Because it's really, you're severing a contract. I mean, in the eyes of the law, the emotions really aren't as important as the finances. And as long as you behave like an adult, then things will move forward the way they're supposed to.
Exactly. And, you know, again, when children are involved, you need to think big picture, too, because, you know, you're making a blueprint that's not going away. So even if you write it today and you're so angry today, you know, your kids might be able to see that months, years down the line, and that's just not a message you want your child to see. I'll tell you, you know, other things have happened. I had a case once where I was representing the husband at the time, and the wife, you know, the husband had an extramarital affair, and the wife just wrote this whole big thing on social media, I mean, a whole platform where she called him a liar, she called him a cheater, said he couldn't be trusted, all of these things. And, you know, and it got out, and it was the type of thing where this man was in a sales type of industry where people will Google you. As soon as you meet somebody, you'll be Googled because that's the first thing people do. So some of this stuff was showing up. And, you know, if someone's going to choose between you and someone else and there's something out there saying you're a liar and can't be trusted, even though the wife was really probably referring more so to the marriage, somebody reads that, I'm going to go on to the next person. Why would I even work with somebody that has one black taint against them, regardless of what the source is, because there's just so many other people out there. Why would I bother? And, you know, it really can affect the financial, you know, the financial situation of the family by just your lash out.
So, and she probably hurt herself as well. I mean, if it affects him negatively in terms of his earnings, that's going to affect her and her kids, right? I mean,
100%. And that was the whole point. And it was just, you know, I understand she's angry. I understand she has hurt feelings. But by doing that, again, she wasn't looking big picture, and she did hurt them because he, you know, his job performance definitely dropped. You know, he lost some accounts. No, can I say 100% it was because of that? I don't know. One person did say to him, I mean, he asked, and one person said, "Look, there's a lot of stuff on you, you know, right now, and it's not good for our image, and I just don't want to. I don't want someone." You know, I just don't want to be associated at this point.
Now, from a legal standpoint, if someone puts that kind of stuff out there on the Internet, can you get them to take it down? I mean, can the law help you with that?
You know, courts have been getting involved to some degree, more so with child-related issues. But courts have said, you know, we want you to take it down. Whether they can actually rule it, you know, I've heard some cases where judges have done that, you know, and judges in matrimonial cases sometimes, whether they're allowed to or not, they may do things just for the greater good.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure really if they were totally within their rights, but I know that there have been cases where judges have said, take it off or shut down that site or do that sort of thing. So I've seen it happen. Can I tell you that, you know, they're completely within their right? I don't know.
Yeah.
But
it'd be interesting if you could add that to part of your settlement, though. You know, it's the, I'm, you know, pay you X amount for alimony, and by the way, you have to remove all this stuff from your webpage.
Yeah. No. People have definitely done that, and people have, you know, said that, you know, you can't post things, and, you know, we have confidentiality clauses, and, you know, and especially because I deal with a lot of high net worth clients and people that, you know, the press is important to them, it's, you know, we do a lot of those type of clauses.
Well, you know, you see these articles out there, these news stories about the billion-dollar divorces and you know, these couples that have more wealth than 99% of all. I'm not trying to bring the 1% argument in, but it's just, people love to watch this because it's just so soap opera-like, and it's so, you know, it's entertaining to watch, unfortunately. And so by the parties to the divorce adding that, I mean, they could really make it blow up on their faces.
Oh, absolutely. And that's usually one of the threat of the less, you know, less celebrity client or whatever it might be. That is usually one of the threats of, like, I'll go to the press kind of thing. And again, you know, I say to people, but you got to look at it because you're killing your cash cow. You know, you don't want to taint them in the media. You can do that. But by doing that, they're going to be making less money.
Yeah. You know, and Aaron mentioned the 1%, but the guy who owned the Clippers, I mean, he had lost his team over this whole thing as it all came out, right? I mean, it's, you know.
Yeah.
That's true. He did.
Yeah.
He did. Well,
yeah,
and now
I'm sorry.
I say the girlfriend has to pay the wife back, and anyway, it's just messy.
Yeah, no. It definitely is messy. I mean, that's the thing. You know, companies, you know, they want to protect themselves, and they have to protect their image, and people pay millions and millions of dollars to, you know, for image control. The one quick little type to the computer, and, you know, things can come down crashing pretty fast.
So what is someone to do to and you know that divorce is coming. Do you, you know, and sometimes couples can sit down and talk to each other about how to move forward, and sometimes couples can't. And so how do you advise your clients to try to make it as unemotional as possible?
Yeah. I think, you know, one of the things I ask clients first when they first come into my office, are you sure you want to get divorced? Because if they even hesitate for a moment, I usually recommend that they try counseling, they try something else, because it is just such a difficult, financially, emotional, costly process that I tell people don't go through it unless you're sure. But assuming that they are, you know, I say that there are three ways to get divorced. There's litigation, there's mediation, and there's collaborative law. Our firm does a lot of litigation. I'm a huge advocate of staying out of court if you can. It's just messy, it's expensive, and it just, you know, a judge isn't going to be able to tailor a settlement the way that two people are. So I truly encourage people to try to sit down and try to settle whatever it is they can settle. Sometimes even before, you know, you involve lawyers, obviously you don't sign anything and you need a lawyer to sign off on anything, especially if one party is more financially savvy than the other. But, you know, when it comes to the children, you know your kids. You know your kids' schedules. You know what's going to work. I don't know your children, you know, nearly as well as you would, nor would a judge. So they're really in the best position to make settlements if they can get over some of the anger, if they can look at this as, a much bigger picture issue and not get as caught up in the moment that they're stuck in right now.
Wow. Well, good food for thought. I've seen so many of our friends or people that we know on Facebook, and they're going through this, and they're angry, yeah, and they're hurt, and it's just all about the shame and the just everything that goes along with divorce.
Yeah.
And they put it all out there, and they really, I hadn't really thought about how much that hurts them when they do that. And, you know, they're looking for emotional support, but that's probably not the best venue.
No, it's not. They should get a therapist.
They should get. Indeed, indeed. Well, this has been great. Thank you so much for joining us today. Very, very, very informative. I think you probably helped some families out there.
I hope so.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
Well, we thank you very much. We've been talking with Jacqueline Newman. She's a family law attorney and managing partner of Berkman, Bodker, Newman, and Rod in New York City. And real food for thought about how to behave on social media during a divorce. So, anyway, it's time for a break. I'm Erin Brinker.
I'm Tobin Brinker.
And we are On the Brink, the morning show here on KCAA AM 1050. We'll be right back.
Some good divorce music.
Oh, there you go.
This is the Star Wars Battle of Heroes. Anakin versus Obi-Wan.